News Talk Breakfast, in association with AIR, supporting your business on our mobile network right across Ireland.
It is now 6:31. Coming up between now and 7 o'clock, we'll be hearing from Belfast, where our software company Version 1 is announcing a major expansion today. Health insurance expert Dermot Good is here. He's going to explain why tens of thousands of us are consistently overpaying for cover. And Ryan McGrath of Cantor Fitzgerald will be here with the latest from the markets. First off, though, a quick look at this morning's papers. The lead story in the Irish Independent is that health insurance story. Older people consistently overpaying for health insurance by as much as €1,000 a year. That report citing new research from Dermot Good, who'll be here in a couple of minutes. In the Irish Examiner, Daniel McConnell reports that unions are refusing the new unions that do refuse the new €880 million Lansdowne Road agreement, pay agreement, will miss out on pay increases contained in the deal. The ASTI notably suspended its long opposition to pay deal over the weekend. And elsewhere, the Irish edition of the London Times carries an emergent a report that looks like a bit of an emerging row, really, between Fianna Fáil and Leo Varadkar just before the new Taoiseach takes power tomorrow, or takes office tomorrow. The Naval Lines reporting there that the Leo Varadkar's plan to scrap the rainy day fund, this $2.5 billion fund, it hasn't really been signed off by Fianna Fáil, it looks like, and Fianna Fáil saying they hadn't been consulted before the decision was taken to ditch the policy, very much in favour of the rainy day fund, which would have been Michael Noonan's initiative initially. That is the paper so far this morning, and Dermot Good joins me now. Dermot Good, health cover analyst with Total Health Cover. You've been looking. You have a new report out this morning. You've basically taken a look at the health insurance market, Dermot. I mean, what did you find?
Yeah, Donald. Good morning. We're always looking to see what trends are emerging. And you know, one would expect with the spiralling costs that everybody is shopping around looking for more value. We actually found that that's still not the case, particularly amongst older people. So we surveyed approximately 700 individual customers and approximately 40 company schemes, and yes, we found that about 4 to 5 people are still on the wrong plans. They have good cover, but they're missing out on the best deals. But 2 out of those 5 people are still on the very dated plans. Now, these are plans that are in the market maybe for 10 to 20 years. And in some cases, they are overpaying by double, really, what they should be paying. And we found that with older people in particular, savings of €500 to €1,000 per adult were not unrealistic. And we also found in company schemes where, you know, a lot of employers in particular are afraid to review their benefits. They're afraid to change them. And so they just simply automatically renew. And a lot of them are very, very busy and so forth. We found that in some cases, you know, savings of €500 to €1,000 per employee were not, once again, out of order.
But it's tricky, isn't it? If you're a small business and you have health and cover in place, if you start to sort of to pull the threads a little bit, everybody wants kind of what they have or might want something different. And it's inertia is a big issue, isn't it?
It is. And employers will often say that they're afraid to touch the benefits because employees will then start getting, I suppose, inquisitive as to, well, why are you doing this? And also they're very, very busy and they don't want to be discussing people's individual health cover requirements with them. I mean, what we would say is, look, first of all, your employers are missing out on fantastic new benefits. Secondly, there's a BIK implication if you're overpaying.
Right.
And there's some fantastic benefits out there that, you know, for example, there's new eye care cover from VSP, there's dental cover from D-Care Dental, there's these cash plans from HSF that employers should be putting in front of all of their employees, and they're missing out on that. So the biggest losers in this research are small businesses in particular, but older people as well. They're paying 30 to 50% more. And when we look at what's now happening in the marketplace, I mean, all the three insurance companies have increased their rates again in the last couple of months, and that trend is likely to continue as we go forward. So it's not going to get any cheaper.
So what can people do? I mean, obviously shopping around is the general answer, but is there a punishment there then? I mean, is there a reward for loyalty? So if somebody has been on a scheme for 10 or 15 or 20 years, do they get any benefits by staying?
Well, I suppose let me dispel this one, Donald. what we call misguided loyalty. I mean, we can understand why people want to stay with the same provider, but you get no rewards whatsoever for being loyal to the same insurance company. You know, so the types of things that people should be doing, and this is for individual consumers and employers. First of all, you must review your cover each year. We would say to all employers, I mean, we conduct all reviews 4 months before the renewal date, okay, not 4 or 5 weeks beforehand. Individuals must be doing it at least a month beforehand. And you need to think of it like you would car or home insurance. Most people never automatically renew those. And with 320 plans in the market now for health insurance, I can tell you there are plans to suit every single budget. I mean, there are people now, in fact, I would call on anybody who's paying €2,500 per adult for their cover. They can reduce that by about down to about €1,500. Anybody who's paying €1,500, €1,600 should be able to get similar cover now for about €1,200, €1,300. So they're the types of ratios that are out there. You should also look at taking on a small excess. So, you know, everybody has this on their car and home insurance. But by, for example, there's a plan on the market now, with all three insurance companies without singling out one, whereby taking on a small excess of between €75 or €100 per claim, and it's only in private hospitals, you can reduce your cost by €750 to €1,000 per adult. And Donald, in some cases, the cover is actually better. The other thing too as well, people need to look at these corporate plans. So a lot of your listeners will now think, well, they're on a corporate plan because they're in a group scheme. They are not. In fact, most group schemes now are irrelevant. They're just a way of collecting premium. So you need to look at these corporate plans. And by the way, it doesn't matter what the plan is called. It doesn't matter who it's targeted at. Everybody, whether they're 25 or 85, can join these corporate plans. And they are the best value plans in the marketplace. The other thing, too, we would suggest is people need to split their cover. So if I have my family of two adults and three children, we'll say, on the one plan, I'm guaranteed to be paying too much.
Right.
You can have your children on a much lower level of cover and the adults on a different plan. And employers need to start looking at this now, because too many company schemes just simply say, we're going to pay plan X and everybody gets that. And in many cases, that is just overspending. So they're the types of, I suppose, tactics now that people need to start employing. Because if I'm paying €2,500 now, next year I'll be paying €2,750. And within 2 years, that plan will be €3,000 per adult. Those costs are just no longer affordable.
And you just do this all the time, but how easy is it actually to compare schemes?
To be honest, it's not easy, Donald, right? The insurance companies on the market here doesn't make it easy for people to do this. I mean, there's various, I suppose, assists there for people. There's a website, the Health Insurance Authority website, which is hia.ie. Every plan on the market, every new benefit, every concession is listed on that website. So the information is available. But what we would say to people is, look, you know, don't torture yourself on this every year. If you think you're overspending, it is worthwhile engaging somebody to, let's just say, review it for you. But if you have a little bit of time, just get onto your insurance company. You know, most employers, for example, have an account manager. And don't know what they should do is call that account manager out and basically call them to task and get them to review the benefits and ask them to look at the benefits across every plan, not just, let's just say, one or two plans. So the real fault here is too many consumers automatically renew. And as I say, employers are the worst offenders there.
Dermot Good, thanks for coming in. Coming up after the break, we'll be speaking to Lorna McAdoo at Virgin One in Belfast. Welcome back. It is now 6:43, and joining me on the line from Belfast is Lorna McAdoo, who's the head of operations there with Virgin One, the Irish software company, announcing a big expansion there this morning. Good morning, Lorna.
Good morning, Dono.
Virgin One, the last time the company was in the news, not long ago at all, was in April. I think the business raised $90 million, now expanding in Northern Ireland. Just explain, first of all, I suppose, what does Virgin One do?
Okay, so Virgin One is a leading IT consulting managed services company, obviously headquartered in Dublin, as you've just said. We have offices across the UK and Ireland. We're a values-based organisation, so we work very closely with our customers, proving that IT can make a real difference. So we have a breadth of capability across seven main capabilities, covering the like of cloud and infrastructure, data analytics, Oracle, Microsoft, asset management, digital technologies, and so forth.
So, and what's happening in Belfast this morning?
So Belfast has gone on quite a journey, actually, over about the last 5 years. So about 5 years ago, the company recognised the potential that Northern Ireland had in putting a part in its drive to become the first €1 billion Irish IT services organisation. So we recognised a lot of the talent that Northern Ireland actually has in the IT sector. And with the support of InvestNI, we set up an office. So our office is currently sitting at 60-plus people. This morning we're announcing that we're going to take that to 120 people in the next 3 years.
And in terms of Belfast then, what is the client base in Belfast? So is it a question of serving clients in Belfast or serving clients from Belfast?
I guess our focus pretty much over the last 3 years has been very much providing services to our local customer base, because we've seen the value that we can do, that we can bring to our local customer base. But going forward, it's not just going to be Northern Ireland. We're certainly going to be looking to play a part in the wider Version 1 story, which is, you know, expanding out over into the UK and also across Ireland. We also support a lot of the Irish organisations here from Belfast as well. So it's not just the local front.
And that's something you can do at the moment. And I suppose for anyone investing on either side of the border at the moment, Brexit obviously is front and centre. It's the big issue. Do you have any sense of how that will play out, or, you know, what you can do in terms of growing the business to take account of it?
Well, none of us know what shape Brexit's actually going to take. We don't know the level of detail of that, but certainly what we intend to do is to continue to grow the great team that we have here, irrespective of the outcome of Brexit. Obviously, it will bring us challenges, and as an organisation, we recognise that with every challenge there comes opportunities, and we'll be working very closely with our customers as we go through the story of Brexit.
And is that something, I mean, that people are talking about on the ground with your clients in Belfast, your clients in Northern Ireland?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess, you know, across the whole of Europe, where everybody's talking about Brexit and trying to understand what shape that will take. So over the next year, 3 years, I'm sure that we'll get more detail around all of that, and we'll work through that.
And in terms of being in Belfast for Version 1, are there cost benefits in terms of, you know, access to talent, the amount that people are paid versus Dublin or London or other kind of alternative locations?
Yeah, well, that's obviously an advantage for us. You know, at the end of the day, we will pay good money for great people, and we have a great team here in Belfast, one that I'm very, very proud of. Yeah, that is an advantage for us, definitely, going forward.
And access to staff, to skilled staff, I mean, are they there? Do they sort of, is it a question of kind of people moving to Belfast, people moving back to Belfast, people coming out of the colleges? Where do you get staff?
Yeah, we've got quite a mixture here in Belfast already. People that have moved from abroad to Belfast to live, people who've come back, haven't gone to university in the UK or wherever, and haven't come back as well. But we have also a lot of local people as well, not necessarily IT grads. We're also very keen to look at bringing people in who've got an interest in IT and a skill set that they want to develop in IT, and we'll support them in doing that.
And you mentioned InvestNI. Are there supports there for Irish businesses moving across the border?
Yeah, absolutely. For SME businesses, there is support. We have been talking to InvestNI, looking at a training development programme to help us support the skill sets that we need here in NI as well. And as an organisation, they have been very supportive since we've set the office up 5 years ago.
Is that financial support, or is it sort of more kind of operational support?
Well, for any new SME coming in, and certainly whenever we opened the office 5 years ago, that was financial support. The training development programme that we're currently looking at will form some form of financial support, but it will be limited.
And best of luck with it. So you're looking to basically double the team between now and 2020.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lorna McAdoo, Head of Operations at Version 1 in Belfast. Thanks for joining me. Coming up after the break, we'll have the latest from the markets with Ryan McGrath of Cantor Fitzgerald. It is just coming up towards 6:53. This is News Talk Business Breakfast, and Ryan McGrath of Cantor Fitzgerald joins me now. Good morning, Ryan. Last week it was all about sterling, I suppose, in the wake of that UK election. Where did that settle up? So where is sterling now in terms of the euro, first of all, and probably the dollar more importantly in the scheme of things?
Yeah, after the surprise result on Thursday of the UK election, the euro sterling, which we closed on Thursday at 86.5, jumped to 86.50. For most of the day on Friday then, it kind of traded just between 87.50 and 88, and it's just going to open up probably below 88 again this morning. I mean, there's a lot of chat about whether the election result opens up the possibility for a soft Brexit, or if indeed this will harden up the Brexit approach, and that's really what the currency markets are trying to establish at the moment.
Not particularly successfully. Nobody knows, do they?
No, and I think that's where you see the two-way flow in the market. I mean, our own view at Cantor Fitzgerald is we've had our base case that it will be a hard Brexit. We didn't see anything in the result of the election that will change that. We've had a long-term call on euro starting to go towards 90 pence, I think at 88, we're almost there. But I think it's, while I can see the school of thought of how this could soften Brexit negotiations, I think ultimately Europe do want a hard Brexit. I think you will see, as the negotiations start, I think you'll see further weakness in sterling.
There does tend to be a bit of an element of people clutching at straws. Any sort of thing that shows up that suggests there might be a little bit of more softness is sort of grabbed, and anything that doesn't suggest that, it tends to be dismissed.
I think the market wants a soft Brexit.
Yeah.
I think there's an underlying view there that a soft Brexit would go some way to undoing the wrong of the referendum last year. Listening to the UK media, everything's about the possibility of a soft Brexit. I think they tend to forget really that there's two people in this negotiation, that there's the UK and there's Europe. I think ultimately Europe would, even though I'm not sure they can say it out loud, I think they would prefer a hard Brexit. So I think it'll be Angela Merkel's decision and not Theresa May's ultimately.
And is this spilling over? So that sterling effect on Thursday and Friday, has that spilled over into the wider markets?
Not really. I mean, the equity markets were actually quite stable. The FTSE 100, which actually has, with the bigger companies, the more international based companies, actually like the weaker sterling play. So I think you saw a little bit in the mid cap in the FTSE 250 that was slightly off on Friday. But ultimately, this isn't an economic crisis. I mean, this is a political crisis. So I think the currency markets offer the most transparency.
And then the Irish government was out on the market again last Thursday. So issued bonds, incredibly low prices.
Yeah, the NTMA, they issued 1 billion of 2026 and 2045 year bonds combined. I mean, at 92, they are at 75 basis points in 10-year money, which is incredibly low. And 190 in 30-year money. So that leaves the NTMA. I mean, they have a stated projection for the year of raising between 9 and 13 billion euros. I mean, they're just below that 9 billion mark already. So I expect they may take a break for the summer, and we'll see the Irish coming back in the market September, October time.
So there's no pressure then on the government to borrow for the
rest
of the
year?
No,
they're in a very strong funding position. I mean, they set a stated range, so they're right at the lower bound of their target range for the entire year for 2017. I mean, our case is that they will actually go towards the upper band there, that they will raise the full 13 billion. So they're in a very strong position.
That so you're talking about sort of substantially less than 1% a year to borrow for 10 years for the Irish government. Great for the Irish government. Terrible for anyone who's trying to save money or lending to the Irish government or looking to invest. The Bank of England and the Fed, again, this is all sort of largely central bank driven, is it, are meeting again this week.
Yeah, I think the big focus this week will be the central banks. The Federal Reserve's out on Wednesday evening. The market is currently pricing a 90% chance that the Federal Reserve will increase rates on Wednesday evening, which I think they will. That'll be the second increase in 2017. At the start of 2017, the base case was for 3 rate increases. So they will look for further guidance on what's going to happen after this increase. I think the economic data in the US has slowed down. I mean, the Fed described the kind of slowness in Q1 as transitory. So while the Fed will produce the increase on Wednesday evening, I think it's the guidance what happens in the second half of the year is what the market really be looking forward to.
And poor Mark Carney in London, he's got his hands full, doesn't he?
The BOE are out on Thursday. I think given the political backdrop, I think the BOE will just kind of enter a holding pattern there. I don't think they want to get too involved, so I wouldn't expect much guidance from there, but certainly he'll have to thread the fine line of just being strong and stable, to quote a phrase.
Ryan McGrath of Cantor Fitzgerald, thanks for coming in. It is now just coming up to 6:58. You're listening to News Talk Breakfast Business. Coming up, we'll have traffic and travel, and then Shane Coleman and Paul Williams will be here with today's morning news.